Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It was an illegal investigation. It was started illegally.
Why? Wait, Mika, I don't understand. He's panicking there. It's a laughable freak out on Donald Trump's part. He's just spitting out everything he can. He's swinging wildly, and yet just a couple of weeks ago, he was praising the investigation, calling it honorable. Remember when everybody was taking a victory lap? Why it sounds like he must be concerned.
Joe Scarborough getting into the head of Donald Trump. That's a crazy proposition. Talking about how terrified and scared President Trump is about the Mueller report, we have found out within the last hour or so that the Mueller report will be released on Thursday. So you can anticipate a weekend full of crazy, busy stories and reactions from pundits everywhere. But Scarborough here already understands that he's very concerned and nervous about the Mueller report coming out. When I listen to Donald Trump talk here, I don't think he sounds nervous. It doesn't sound to me like he is, shaking in his boots. Once again, I click the button and it's just spinning. So be prepared for Trump to start speaking at any time now. It's about
that darn
right.
Computer.
Yeah. Do you think that any example of what Trump has said over the course of the last 18 months has made you think that he's nervous? He's actually like kind of up in its face. Doesn't make me feel like it's nervous.
No, he didn't sound nervous at all when he was talking about that. It sounded like what he's been saying for the last 18 months.
Yeah. Spinning wheel of death on my computer. I'm pretty sure that that's something that everybody can relate to.
Yeah.
You click on a computer.
It was an illegal investigation.
There it is.
It was started illegally.
Why? Wait.
It was an illegal investigation started illegally. Right on cue. I did that on purpose. That's not nervousness. He's just been saying the same thing over and over and over again because he's been saying the whole time there's no collusion. Then we get William Barr's report that comes out that he works on that four-page in conjunction with Mueller, and there's no collusion. So you can understand why Trump continued to say that. It's bizarre. How's your weekend?
It was great. I'm pooped right now. I am whipped.
Are you also 82 saying that?
I'm pooped. I had to go to bed.
So Katie says she went to Memphis. She said her husband was going to work all weekend and she has a friend in Memphis, so she just went. And I said, Katie, or Tony, I said, those were the days.
Right.
Packed up a bag and
like,
went.
Yeah, I'll go to Memphis.
That's how it was.
Do you know the act of Congress it would take for me to just go to Memphis? Am I right?
Yes.
How many things you have to plan in order to make that plan happen?
Yeah. Jeez. It's extensive.
Mm-hmm.
Three little kids. Now, mine are all under 10. Tony's spread them out a little bit more.
Big time.
Teenager, 9? 8.
8.
8 and 2?
Yep. Almost 16, 8 and 2.
Yeah. So
well, the 16-year-old can babysit for the weekend, right?
Yeah, she can. No. Not she can babysit, but she can't be not overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legally? Or because
no,
you don't
personally
want that to happen?
I don't know about legally. I'm sure legally she can.
You know, in the state of Illinois, it's 14 before you can even leave them home.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
wow.
My.
Man, we were lawbreakers.
They were just changed. I don't know if it's officially gone through all the way to be signed into law, but they've lowered it to 12.
Hmm.
Man, I was babysitting at 12.
Heck yeah.
All the
right?
kids.
Me
my,
too.
My six-year-old could babysit my two-year-old in a pinch. Now, yeah. I wouldn't allow it, so don't
sure
report me. But yeah, that's, you know.
It's wild.
Yeah, we were, I mean, it was probably 10. Grace was probably 10 when we would leave her alone, like if we were running to the store. If she didn't want to go and we were running to the store. And we were going to be gone for 20 or 30 minutes if she wanted to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
That probably started, that type thing probably started when she was 10. And then, you know, by 12 or 13, she was pretty much able to stay home for an extended period of time.
We'll go to the corner gas station and, you know, you go grab a soda or a jug of milk or something. And you got to pack the kids up in the car to go
down the road.
A third of a mile to the end of the road.
And then do you bring the kids into the, if you're just going in to get milk or something, do you bring the kids into the store too?
I do. And I tell my husband he has to. It's questionable if he listens to that when I'm not present.
No way.
No.
But yeah, like, is it safer to have your kids in a car in a parking lot of a gas station or at home?
Right.
Watching an episode
for
of Friends.
A grand total of 4 minutes. Mm-hmm.
I leave them in the car. I lock the car.
Yeah.
And I leave it running and I lock it. And I have my, you know, I have the keys in the ignition and the and the truck is on, but I have the fob thing that, you know, that I go in with, and I can lock it when I get out and I can unlock it when I get back. So they have the radio and the heater or the air conditioner or whatever.
Chilling.
Yeah.
It's just, you would think that parents, and not all parents, I understand it's the case, but you'd think that parents would know their kids to know best.
Right.
Like, would I leave my 6-year-old at home with my 2-year-old while I went to the store? No. But I also have a 9-year-old, and if I was going to go be gone for a total of 4 or 5 minutes, if one of them's napping or something like that, you know, it just seems like, I don't know. I don't know what the line is. I don't know what's appropriate. I'm at that point in my parenting life where I'm questioning the appropriateness of things because I know what my kids could handle, but at the same time, you know that any 9, 6, and 2-year-old could not. They could be much more responsible.
Sure.
I mean, like my 6-year-old is as responsible as my 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. So every kid's different.
I do. I get in trouble for. I got all kinds of hate on social media a couple of years ago on Dave's show when I talked about, you know, we spent a lot of time going to my buddy's farm or, you know, places like that. And if it's a nice day and the kids want to, as soon as we get back on like a farm road or something, if they want to go sit in the bed of the truck, knock yourself out.
Oh, yeah.
And I got all kinds of like, well, you're just a
bad
killer.
Dad.
Yeah.
Oh, poo.
And then other people are like, you'd be a bad dad if you didn't let him ride.
Yeah, I love running.
You said poop in this segment 3 times now.
I'm sorry. There's just so many different ways.
What kind of potty talk show is this?
I used to sit in the truck bed, and that's
like, there's nothing better. There's nothing cooler than that.
Or like,
there's nothing cooler.
I know you're strapped in whenever I say this, but that's like riding in a Jeep with the top off and the doors off and the back off.
Sure.
Loved doing that. And that was so fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're not going on the highway.
Right. It's gravel roads.
Right. We're doing it on small roads. Going 20 miles an hour.
Here's a question.
There's nothing better than that.
Did you pay much attention to the president? I guess the news alert came out during our show on Friday. The president said he was going to put the detained illegal immigrants in sanctuary cities.
Yeah.
We're looking to see if there are options that make it possible and doing it in a full and thorough and extensive review. The president likes the idea and Democrats have said they want these individuals into their communities. So let's see if it works and everybody gets a win out of it. Again, this is not the ideal situation. The ideal solution is real simple. It's for Congress, particularly Democrats in Congress, to sit down with the president, do their jobs, and help us stop this awful crisis that's taking place at our border.
Bold move or reckless move?
I don't know that they're. I think it's more of a political
stunt.
Yeah.
Still pretty
good one.
Still pretty bold. Listen to Cory Booker react and listen to what he says at the very end.
Do you think this is an empty threat by the president, though, to talk about busing people from the border into these sanctuary cities? He likes to create friction sometimes to jumpstart, he says, a Congress that's not acting.
You say friction, I say he's trying to pit Americans against each other and make us less safe.
What? Less safe? How? Tell me, Senator Booker, how would that make you less safe? And then, you know, whenever you're not really sure how to feel about something and you're trying to research all the great thinkers of the world, share tweets.
Oh boy.
Did you hear about this?
No.
So I will say
I didn't look for Cher's take on this one.
Darn, you missed a good one.
Well, I'm about to set your mind at ease.
Yes. Please
September
do.
5th of 2017, Cher. Yes. Yeah, the Cher. Not right. Yeah, not the clueless Cher. It's the only other Cher I know. Cher.
Huh.
Those who can't.
I got that joke.
Those who can. I'm just realized I'm totally scooping Katie. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Those who can must take a dreamer into their home and protect them. I'm ready to do this and pray others in all capitals. My business will do the same. Sanctuary. So then she tweets this weekend. So that was a tweet she sent out in September of 2017. This weekend, she says, and this is after the president's statement.
The illegal, really, you call them the illegals. I call them the illegals. They came across the border illegally. We'll bring them to sanctuary city areas and let that particular area take care of it, whether it's a state or whatever it might be. California certainly is always saying, oh, we want more people. And they want more people in their sanctuary cities. Well, we'll give them more people. We can give them a lot. We can give them an unlimited supply. And let's see if they're so happy. They say we have open arms. They're always saying they have open arms. Let's see if they have open arms.
So that's what the president was saying. This is what she, so, and we heard what she tweeted. She said, open your homes to dreamers. And she wants other people in her business to do the same thing. This is what she tweets this weekend, which I will add that Donald Trump retweeted this.
Nice.
I understand helping struggling immigrants, but all caps, my city, Los Angeles, isn't taking care of its own. What about the 50,000 plus American citizens who live on the streets, people who live below poverty line and hungry? If my state can't take care of its own, many are vets, how can it take care of more?
Here we go.
Oh, my goodness gracious, Cher.
Does she not realize that she's arguing against herself in that statement?
I don't know if she knows what she's doing.
People forget that the internet is forever.
That is great.
It's exactly right.
It's exactly right.
The whole point.
And it's exactly why we can't have hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants keep crossing the border every year, because we do need to take care of our own, because there are problems all over this country.
If we had our whole house in order, we would be having a different conversation. But we don't.
Yeah.
And the one thing you hear from people who are in LA and that area talk about the rampant homelessness. I mean, you know, the climate there, it's not the same as being homeless in St. Louis, Missouri, where the weather obviously is nuts all the time. Mm-hmm. In LA, people go there and they live on the streets, and it's, you know, they live there. They're making a choice to continue to do that. And do they need help? Yeah. Do they need jobs? Yeah. Should we be focusing on getting these people off the streets? Yeah. What are you going to do with all of these illegal immigrants that you, as a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state, are asking people to feel like they have solace there? Cher's making the whole point.
Yes.
She's really good at techno. She...
Do you believe in love?
Cher, Sonny and Cher, or Cher?
I love Cher. I do.
I don't care about Cher.
Oh, well.
What are you looking at me for?
Tony's offended that think? I even asked him the question. Sonny
Which
and Cher
do you like?
Sonny and Cher's fantastic.
None. I mean, I appreciate Cher. I don't think that, I mean, she's just
Nobody
not.
Nobody flips their hair the way Cher flips her
she's
hair.
She's not one of my top. What was the song on the battleship?
She doesn't have to be your favorite artist. I
what
just
was
wanted...
the song where she was singing naked on the battleship?
Oh, no,
that was a good song.
Was the song good? I don't know about that.
Yeah, because I don't find her that attractive. So, but apparently left a...
She looks the same here that she did 40 years ago.
What is this? What is that song?
I don't know. We'll
that was like it. One of her biggest songs.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do the highlights. We are going to speak, very excited to talk to Steve Scalise, the House Republican whip. Steve Scalise is going to join us at 12:40, and we're going to talk to him about what?
When you type in Cher in Google, battleship is the next word.
What's the
top one, if I could turn back time.
If I could turn back time. Yeah, I know that song.
That's a good song.
I didn't know that she was naked on a battleship.
She's pretty naked.
Pretty naked.
Pretty naked.
She's not middle naked. She's really naked.
I was talking about Steve Scalise, who's the House Republican whip, who's going to join us at 12:40. Sorry about the naked battleship interruption there. We're going to talk to him about the Collinsville Congressional Prayer Breakfast that's taking place here at the end of April. Also, today's tax day. You got your taxes in? I hope so. You're running out of time. Make sure that gets done today. I'm going to ask him about the tax reform that the Republicans got through and how he feels it's handled, how Americans are benefiting from it. So Steve Scalise at 12:40 and Stephen Moore at 1:10. Stay tuned.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To ask our sanctuary cities to follow the law.
Senator Kennedy right there. I'd agree. Ask them to follow the law. I don't think that would be a bad idea. Real quick, Tom, wanted to get to your phone call. Thanks for calling the show. Hey, Tom, you there? Tom? No, Tom.
Go for Tom.
Bye, Tom. Sorry, Tom. Mm. You know, the whole point, I'm pretty sure, that Donald Trump is trying to make when it comes to saying sanctuary cities would be should be welcoming to the illegal immigrant detainees at the southern border. The whole point is to say either you really want these people to come here or you've been saying this whole time as a political stunt. And once again, he meets one political stunt and matches it equally, if not greater than the original one. And it's just turnabout's fair play, I guess. I don't know if he's actually going to do this. I don't know if he's going to make this happen, but the whole concept of a sanctuary city is bizarre, and it doesn't make our country safer. And then, you know, we hear Cory Booker basically saying it makes us less safe.
Do you think this is an empty threat by the president, though, to talk about busing people from the border into these sanctuary cities? He likes to create friction sometimes to jumpstart, he says, a Congress that's not acting.
You say friction, I say he's trying to pit Americans against each other and make us less safe.
I don't know how you reconcile the idea of sanctuary cities and then at the same time say that if Trump were to get away with what he's trying to get away with, that it would make people less safe. Just doesn't make sense to me. Which is why Donald Trump is doing it. This is the whole purpose of what he's doing. I just wonder how far he'll take it.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
Democrat rising star Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I don't know if you've ever heard of her, has not revealed who she will endorse as her party's 2020 presidential candidate, but said yesterday that she hopes it's not former Vice President Joe Biden. She said that a vote for Biden would be moving backwards, not forwards, and she wants to move forwards.
She explained why.
She said, it does not particularly animate me right now. She said that Joe Biden presidential run does not particularly animate me right now. She said that she has a lot of issues with a potential Biden run. She went on to say, I can understand why people would be excited by that. This idea that we can go back to the good old days with Obama's vice president, there's an emotional element to that. But I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. A little bit later on, she said, I haven't endorsed anybody, but I'm very supportive of Bernie. No surprise there. I also think what Elizabeth Warren has been bringing to the table is truly remarkable. Truly remarkable and transformational. So there you go. She is AOC, yeah girl, is no fan of Joe Biden and would not, well, she stopped short of saying she wouldn't support him, but does not want to have to support Joe Biden.
I have a new Emerson poll that I'm going to talk about here later on in the show.
Is it the one that shows Mayor Pete?
I'll talk about it later.
All right.
Don't scoop me.
Is it that one?
Katie.
Everyone's.
Is it that one? Because that poll is amazing.
We're going to talk about it in a minute.
All right. Yeah. Don't miss that.
Governor. Am I on? There we go. Oh. Governor J.B. Pritzker's progressive income tax appears to be stuck in the Illinois Senate. On Friday, the Senate decided against voting on the proposal, which would change the Illinois Constitution. Illinois policy estimates Pritzker's progressive tax would
Illinois has a constitution?
They still do.
It's more like guidelines.
It looks
to
like
quote one pirate.
It looks like
I know.
The revolutionary flag. The Illinois policy estimates Pritzker's progressive tax would cause a typical Illinois family to pay around $3,500 more in taxes per year. Pritzker is currently trying to sway certain Democratic lawmakers into voting for the proposal by the end of May.
Sleazoid.
What was that?
I think I called him Sleazoid.
You don't know that one?
I think I've called him a Sleazoid.
Who is that?
Kennedy.
Senator Kennedy.
Talking about Michael Cohen.
Yeah.
And J.B. Pritzker.
He has the best one-liners.
I think it's weird.
U.S. Representative Rashida Tlaib claimed in a tweet Saturday that she and other minority members of their party have been used as tokens whenever the party wants to project an image of inclusivity. The message appeared to be triggered by a California Muslim activist's assertion that the Democratic leaders hadn't been supportive of Rep. Omar. They put us in photos when they want us to show our party is diverse, Tlaib wrote. However, when we ask to be at the table or speak up about issues that impact who we are, what we fight for, and why we ran in the first place, we are ignored. To truly honor our diversity is to never silence us. So that's what she's saying about the Democratic Party.
To truly honor our diversity is to never silence us.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you are being silenced from time to time doesn't automatically imply it has anything to do with your diversity, I would like to add.
The Blues lost their first game of the postseason yesterday, 6-3. They remain ahead in the series, 2-1, and their next game against Winnipeg is at home tomorrow at 8:30. Meanwhile, in Mexico, the Cardinals played in Monterrey versus the Cincinnati Reds, winning the game 9-5 on the strength of two Marcel Ozuna home runs, who I have in my fantasy league. The final score of my fantasy game was 7-3.
Very good, Ryan.
Did you win?
Yeah, I was up.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The Cardinals play tonight in Milwaukee for a battle for first place at 6:40.
Fantastic. So, Tony, you're Blues in 4. That's out.
Blues in 5. I said it from the very beginning.
And then you changed it.
I don't remember that.
I do. Roll the tape. You said Blues in 5.
I said Blues in 5, and that's why I was okay with that yesterday.
I said Blues in 5, and then Frank made me mad, so I said Blues.
Because he said Blues in 7, right?
Yeah, he said it's going to be a tough series.
He's more right than you were now.
Made me mad. No. Because if they win in 5, that's closer to 4 than 7.
That's true.
Yeah.
But your prediction, your Blues in 4 is wrong.
I said Blues in 5 first, so...
You should have said them all. So then you could have said, well, I said Blues in 6, too. And then I said Blues in 7. I said Blues in 3.
I meant Blues in 5, but then, like I said.
Has anybody taken Jets in 6 or 7?
In St. Louis? I hope not.
Nobody hears.
I said that they're going to win this series and look great, and then they'll fall on their face in the second round.
Well, that's typical.
That's right, exactly. That'd be standard Blues.
Well, let's take a quick break because I want to make sure we have plenty of time to talk with the House Republican whip, Steve Scalise. Super excited to talk to him. He is going to be at the Collinsville Congressional Prayer Breakfast at the end of April, and we're going to talk to him about that, the importance of that. He has been fighting hard on Capitol Hill for the unborn, among many other things. Also, it's tax day. How's he feeling about the tax reform that he was part of helping pass before? With the previous House Republicans, because I wonder how many of you have gotten your tax returns yet. How many of you filed them? How many of you know what the end game is? Hopefully, almost all of you, if not all of you, because today's tax day, you got to get that done. So Steve Scalise is going to join us as soon as we come back, and then we hope to talk to Heritage Foundation Stephen Moore at 1:10. I'm going to talk to him about the economy as well and tax day. All that fun stuff. So stay tuned. A lot more coming at you in just a minute.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The return to glory.
Tiger Woods doing the unthinkable yesterday. Yesterday was an amazing day for St. Louis sports fans. Masters in the morning, Cardinals in the afternoon, Blues in the evening. But you know, the human story behind Tiger Woods and his victory yesterday. And, you know, there's a lot of people talking about all the ins and outs and every way that you can dissect what he did yesterday. But he did the unthinkable. And it would appear as though he's poised to do it again. There's no reason why you would bet against him right now. Do you watch much golf, Tony?
I get into it. Like everybody else, I might start watching again if Tiger starts doing his thing again.
Yeah.
I like golf.
Nike
I like to play
and
golf.
The television stations appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unbelievable. I don't know. I mean, you have, you know, Michael Jordan and you have Wayne Gretzky and you have, you know, guys like LeBron James, Muhammad Ali maybe with boxing, but I just can't think of one person who an entire sport, whether it's going well or going bad, has to do with just one person.
It's amazing.
He has so much influence.
Yeah, great to see Tiger win yesterday, and looking forward to seeing what happens next. Let's take a moment here and get to our guest. Very excited to speak with the House Republican Whip, Steve Scalise. Representative Scalise, a very, very great honor to speak with you today.
Annie, great to be with you. How are y'all doing in St. Louis?
Doing just fine. Now, you are coming to Collinsville. I live on the Illinois side, and I commute across the Mississippi every day to come to work in St. Louis. So you're coming to real close to my hometown for the Congressional Prayer Breakfast, which is April 29th. And it's a real honor for you to make that trek here to the Midwest. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity first to talk about a Congressional Prayer Breakfast in the Midwest. Why are you coming all this way?
First of all, I have Devin Shimp. I've known him the entire 11 years I've been in Congress, and he had asked me to do this. This is something he had built up, this prayer breakfast, for a long time, and I really appreciated the opportunity to come up to Collinsville. I actually live about a block from the Mississippi River in New Orleans.
No,
so,
okay.
You know, we're not far from each other, right?
Yeah, just a boat right away.
you know, either side, you just kind of stop and get off, but I'm just honored to be able to share the message of what prayer and, you know, and just miracles and faith meant to me when, you know, when we had the shooting 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, John was there every step of the way and came to see me in the hospital that day and, you know, plays on the baseball team as well. So, we're just going to be talking a little bit about that experience, but, it's something that I appreciate the invitation because John meant so much, and he has such a strong faith himself. So when Shimkus reached out, it was an easy decision to come.
Well, that's fantastic. John Shimkus is a friend of the show, as well as Rodney Davis, who was there with you.
Rodney was there, and Wagner was right across on the other side, and
yep.
St. Louis side, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I work real well together, especially on this Born Alive bill. You talk about such an important piece of legislation that Ann Wagner's been leading on. To defend the life of a baby who's born alive outside the womb, where right now in some states they can still kill the baby, and it's unbelievable that it's happening, but we're trying to stop that. But Rodney is somebody who's been a leader in Washington on so many issues, and I've worked with him as well. So, you know, John, he used to work for John Shimkus, and
mm-hmm.
John definitely raised him well, as you say, and he's a great member of Congress in his own right now.
So, you know, you were on the field that day, that tragic day, when the man came and just opened fire on, and you were hit. And, you know, it was tragically for the country, a unifying moment that this is what has to happen to get us to be unified for a moment and realize that there are things that are more important than partisan politics. But you've talked about how much your faith has played a role in your recovery from that incident. What has it meant to you to be able to move through this process guided by your faith?
Well, faith is just so close to the core of everything that that happened. And what, you know, when I was laying down after being shot and couldn't move anymore, the first thing I started to do was pray. And, you know, and it gave me an incredible sense of calm in the middle of such a crazy, violent moment that, that I knew when I put it in God's hands that he was going to take care of things. And he did, in a way nobody could imagine. And then even in the hospital during the really tough times, just to know that other people were praying that I got well.
and that really was incredibly uplifting. And I wanted to share that as well at the prayer breakfast.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with House Republican Whip Steve Scalise, who's going to be at a congressional prayer breakfast at the Gateway Center in Collinsville on April 29th. We will post the information if you want to participate in that while tickets still last. You know, the climate right now in the country and certainly in Washington, D.C., inside the Beltway, very, very tense, very hostile. Do you see, you know, in your fight for, let's talk about, like you mentioned, the born alive, the fight for the unborn, with everything being as hostile as it is right now in politics, how are you hoping to be able to get through some meaningful legislation to defend the lives of the unborn?
Well, I think you just need to keep going out and making the case around the country. It's not good enough just to tell your colleagues what it is you're trying to do. You've got to build momentum, and you've got to build coalitions. And so we're working with a lot of groups like National Right to Life and the Family Research Council and Susan B. Anthony List. You know, there's so many grassroots organizations that have reach throughout every district in the country, so that if a member of Congress is not yet supporting the bill, and we started what's called a discharge petition, and that even though Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to bring this bill to the floor for a vote, a discharge petition allows you with 218 signatures to force a bill to the floor for a vote. And we're just going to be reaching out and asking members of Congress to be a part of that. And they're going to be hearing from constituents in their own districts. And, you know, grassroots support for issues really does matter. So we're going to keep doing that. And look, I've always said, agree or disagree. I mean, we all have beliefs and we all want to stick to our core convictions. But when you're disagreeing with somebody, don't make it personal. You know, you try to sway people and persuade people, you're not going to do it by yelling or threatening them. You try to give them your points of view, and then if they're on the other side today, then you just respect that and you move on and you try to sway them the next day. But too often people make their differences personal, and that's when it really breaks down and creates this toxic climate that we see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so on cable news, and you know, we get the stories here, we see the headlines in the press, it seems like there is nobody talking to anybody in Capitol Hill. Is that a misperception of what is taking place on a daily basis?
Well, on some issues it is, but, you know, there are some issues where we come together and agree. And, of course, you don't hear about those as often because it's not the big story of the day where it's an issue like immigration or health care or tax cuts where you see these big partisan divides. And, you know, and look, on some of these issues, it shouldn't be partisan. I mean, I didn't think that it should have been a partisan bill when we cut everybody's tax rates and got the economy moving again. But it turned out to be, you know, every Democrat wanted to vote no. On this bill, the Born Alive bill, there are a few Democrats that have already signed on, but not as many as there should be. I mean, this should be something where we can all come together and say, you know, wherever you are on the abortion debate, you know, and I'm pro-life, there are people that are pro-choice, but this shouldn't even be a part of the abortion debate. If a baby is born alive outside the womb, how can you still legally be able to kill that baby? And yet in some states you can, and it shouldn't be legal. We ought to have full protection where that baby has to be taken care of, and that's what Ayn Rand's bill does.
Amen to that. We're speaking with House Republican Whip Steve Scalise. You mentioned tax reform. Today's tax day. How are you feeling about the Republican effort for tax reform to this point in time?
Well, I mean, if people are writing out their checks today, you know, just keep in mind how much the government takes from you every year. And you know, we've got to have basic government, like providing for our national defense and some of the core things that the country should do. But at the same time, we have too large of a government, mm-hmm. and need to roll it back in. And tax day is a great day to remind people of that. But also to know that if you compare what you're paying today to what you were paying 2 years ago, before we passed that tax cut bill, you're paying a lot less today. You have a lot more money in your paycheck today. And, you know, some people, regardless of what amount they're going to get back, if they're getting money back, they'll look at your paycheck each month and see, are you getting more money in your paycheck today than you were 2 years ago? That primarily is because of our tax cut bill. We literally cut every single rate, and we brought a lot of jobs back to America. We were getting creamed. You saw great companies there in Illinois. I mean, Caterpillar was moving jobs. Other companies were moving their headquarters to Ireland and other countries because we were the highest corporate rate in the industrialized world. And so America had lost its competitive edge, and we're now gaining that back. And we're seeing the jobs come back with it and higher wages. And that's all important for families that are working hard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in the highlight of making sure people understand it's not your tax return that dictates how much money you have to pay in taxes. It's the overall tax obligation that you have, which is a bit more complicated, I think, than a lot of people anticipate that it's going to be. But if you've been getting more money in your paycheck, then your tax return might be a little bit lower. You still might be coming out ahead for sure.
Yeah. I've always said if they got rid of the federal withholding, and every April 15th, you actually had to cut a check for the full amount of your taxes instead of having it taken out every paycheck, you'd see a revolt.
You'd see a lot more Republicans.
How much money, exactly? How much money is the government taking? But right now, you know, you get a percentage taken out of every paycheck, so you don't see it as much. You know, you whatever amount you're making, you're looking and, okay, I'm getting $500 in my paycheck. Well, maybe you should have been getting $750, but the amount's just automatically taken out. Whereas if you had to write that one big check every year, boy, would people pay attention to how much they're being taxed. And, you know, and again, help us get even more accountability on where the money's spent.
Completely agree with you. I've got about a minute left here, Congressman, but you've been working closely with Donald Trump on a number of issues, especially over the course of the administration from the start to where we are now while he's halfway through his first term. What's your assessment of how this president does business and what he's doing for the American people?
Well, I get to work very closely with President Trump and see how much he cares about families. I mean, he campaigned on a very specific agenda. If you look at the things that he said he was going to do in terms of getting our economy back on track, cutting taxes, building the wall, securing our border, rebuilding our defense, putting good constitutional conservative justices on not only the Supreme Court, but all the district courts. You look on all of those fronts and he has delivered. President Trump's delivered for the families that, you know, that are working in this country and for people that want to have a more secure America. And in the end, you know, the people that disagreed with the things he campaigned on, I can understand you not being happy with his presidency because he's following through on those promises and you didn't like those promises. But, you know, when you look at the media and you see all of it, every day they're just going after him personally, they go after his family. You see leaders in Washington still, they were saying that there was collusion with Russia, which there never was. And then they moved on and now they want to just get his tax returns. And it's like every day they just want to harass the president instead of, you know, let's fight over the ideas. Let's debate whether or not we should have an open border or a secure border. And instead they hide behind all these personal attacks.
Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you, House Republican Whip Steve Scalise. You'll be at the Collinsville Congressional Prayer Breakfast on April 29th at the Gateway Center in Collinsville, hoping that I can make it and meet you there. Thank you so much for giving us some time today. We truly appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you out there at the prayer breakfast.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. That's Congressman Steve Scalise. You know, it's interesting to think that he's coming back to Collinsville, which is 20 minutes away from where Hodgkinson's, the guy who shot up that baseball field, 20 minutes away. But if you have the chance to come out, would love for a great crowd to be there at the Congressional Prayer Breakfast, 7 a.m., April 29th, at the Gateway Center in Collinsville. And we will post the link for that, $25 a ticket. Table of eight costs $200. I'm hoping that I can make it. And if I can, hopefully I'll see you there. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.